Hey everybody, I'm Max, I'm an alcoholic. Of course, the first thing I do, I break this. Sorry. My sobriety date is April 17th of this year. I have a sponsor. I am still going through the steps. I'm on step 11, so I'm not sponsoring anybody. And my home group is Monday Night Black Belt One Men's at Christ the King Catholic Church. I didn't know I was doing this, like everybody says. So what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I guess, like everybody says, I'll go through my, growing up, what it was like. I grew up in a really normal, average home. I am the oldest grandchild and oldest in my family. So I think, growing up, I was the chosen one. Sounds really narcissistic. I guess, feeds into why I'm here. But I was the oldest for 4 years. My brother, Ian, is the second oldest. We were, separated by about 4 years. So for a while, I was the king, basically. My mom had me, she wasn't married, had me when she was like 23. And my dad, I guess, came along when I was a baby, because I don't remember my biological dad, and my dad is the guy I call my dad is the only guy I've ever known, so I'm just pretending like the other guy, not my dad. I never met him either, so. I grew up, I was pretty normal, did everything really normally. I went to Catholic school, same school, kindergarten through eighth grade, really small bubble of people. I didn't really do anything crazy outside of that. I played sports growing up, and I was in scouts, kind of pretty average childhood. I didn't start drinking until I was a senior in high school. I was, 17 or 18. I don't remember. I think I was 17 still. I don't remember which of these was the first time I ever drank, but one, I worked at it a coffee shop, and I didn't hang out with these people, but they were always inviting me to do stuff. My parents were pretty strict, so I didn't do anything with them, but these were college kids, and they invited me to a college party one time, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. Thought I was really, really cool. Showed up for 15 minutes, because I had to be home at 9 or 10 o'clock, and I remember drinking there. Didn't really get drunk, but I was I just felt really accepted, and I knew that, I wanted to do that again, even though I didn't get drunk. And then another time, and I think this one came first. A friend of mine, somehow got his hands on a bottle of that 99 apple stuff, apple schnapps, basically. And me and four friends, we stayed up all night at my friend's house drinking. And the next day I had to go out on a boat, which was the worst thing ever, because I'm really, I get seasick really easily. So on top of being hungover and being 17, my parents were probably what the hell is wrong with him? So that was my first time drinking, and I was kind of a B student in high school, so it wasn't I was always one of those kids where the teachers were if you just did your homework, or if you just did this or did that, you could get straight A's, and I never cared about that. I played sports, so I was oh, that's all I cared about. I could coast by, and then I ended up, I went to college, and that's kind of where it really escalated. I went from going to a small, private school to Florida State, and it was just all bets were off. I did the really, really smart thing and joined a fraternity. Because I was terrified that I wasn't going to have friends, because it's not like I had plenty of friends. I don't know why I thought I was going to not have friends. And my friends back in high school, they didn't really drink or party like the other kids. And I always thought I needed to do that stuff in order to fit in. And so I joined this fraternity. And over the course of like the year and a half I was in school, I never, you know, I went to class when I wanted to. I had a couple early classes, never went to those. And I just like drank constantly. And to the point where like the dean was like, you know, we're not going to kick you out, but you should probably leave, which means we're kicking you out. So I ended up coming back home after 2 years, and I wasn't 21 yet. So, and my parents, they don't drink. My dad is actually in AA, and so is my grandfather. So I'm keeping the family tradition going. And my mom doesn't drink either. I don't think she was ever in AA, but I know she did Al-Anon. When I was younger, because I remember her, like, my parents both went to meetings, and I didn't know what they were. And my mom, like, she kept a journal, and I remember seeing in there one time Al-Anon, and I asked her what it was, and she just, like, kind of was like, you know, don't worry about it. And I kind of knew my dad went to this place called Yana every Friday night, and that was, like, that was all I really knew of AA, and I didn't even know it was AA. I just knew he went to meetings. So, came back home from college, and I was trying to do like the school and work thing. My parents knew that I got kicked out because I drank, but they didn't like really, they didn't say anything about it. They were just like, you know, they knew that I wasn't a good student of my own accord. I kind of needed to have something like in high school. It was like if I didn't make grades, they would like take something away from me, like my car or sports or you know something. They would not let me. You know, I played lacrosse and they wouldn't let me play or practice. And so like I would always do the bare minimum to get back to what I wanted to do. And so that was, you know, I would study for a week or 2 weeks, ace a test, bring my grades back up to like where they said it was acceptable. And then I would just kind of like go back to coasting. And so like when I came back, I was doing like the school thing. I was going to HCC and I like, and this is another thing too, is like, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Like I had this, like this idea that I wanted to be a lawyer when I was in high school, but I didn't like doing like research reports and reading and things like basically lawyer stuff. And I had friends that did and they're lawyers now and they're, you know, really good at what they do. Or at least they tell me they're really good at what they do. And so, you know, like I was kind of like forcing myself down this path. I liked reading. I wanted to be an English major. My dad's like, no, you're going to business school. You're going to get a business degree. That's practical. So I was kind of like, I never really knew like what I wanted to do. So I was doing like stuff I didn't want to do. And this is like such a tangent. I ended up going to school while I was living with my parents. After about 6 or 8 months of that, I ended up moving in with a couple friends of mine that actually... one friend was up at school out of state and it was a really hard school and he wasn't doing well. So he came back here. He didn't have a drinking problem or anything. He actually did not like drink or, do drugs or anything like that. Like I did. And then my other friend ended up like graduating a little bit early and was coming back and doing like a master's program at USF. And so we all lived out by USF. And that's kind of like where I think like the ramp up to coming into here started, aside from, you know, just being an alcoholic. It started, you know, it wasn't drinking at first. I smoked a lot of weed. And I was like, I justified it by, I'm working, I'm going to school, I'm doing these things that other people that I know aren't doing, because they were either working or they were going to school, not doing both. Eventually, like, I stopped going to school, kind of lied to my parents about it for a little bit. I had, I prepaid a college scholarship, and, you know, so I there were no, like, I was just blowing money, like, saying I was going to school, I wasn't going to school, and I would rather just, you know, sit home all day, smoke weed, and, you know, play video games, basically. As, you know, I got a little bit older, I ended up, like, doing that for a while, and got to the point where, like, I was still living with this friend of mine who drank and smoked. This was the third guy that I lived with, or the other guy that I lived with. And he was actually my roommate in college. And I think, you know, we kind of fed off each other. Like, you know, I would kind of be like, hey, do you want to go drink? And he'd be like, yeah. And so, like, you know, he was my drinking buddy. And I, you know, it was just like, it wasn't a healthy relationship for either of us. Like, he was not an alcoholic, but I was. So, like, we would go out, I would get annihilated, and he would drive home. And that was kind of like, you know, and basically that was the only friend in the world that I had, because he, you know, I don't know why. I've since made amends to this person. It was kind of a weird amends, but it was a very, like, just a bad relationship, and we were still friends, but not like that. I like to drink. I like to drink more than other people did, and every time I went out, I would think, like, I was, you know, not the most drunk person there, and I was always the most drunk now, looking back on it. Like, I would go, I turned into an everyday drinker, and there were certain bars that I would go to that were strategically, like, on my way home or, like, right around the corner from my house. And towards the end, I ended up becoming better friends with, like, a lot more bartenders than I did, like, actual people in the outside world. And I work in the service industry, so I kind of was like, oh, this is cool. Like, you know, this is one of the benefits of being in the service industry, not really understanding, like, you know, when your bartender friends cut you off, like, that's a bad sign. And that happened a lot. And so, like, ended up going, my last drink, I went out with people that I don't normally go out with. This is after, like, a work function that I've been drinking at, and ended up getting, like, just ridiculously drunk. And this was, we ended up going to a club, and I don't go to clubs. Like, it's just, like, my friends, like, wanted to, or these people that I was drinking with, they wanted to go dance. I was like, all right, whatever. I was not in, you know, I was not thinking rationally anymore. Went out, and anyways, we ended up going to this club, and I don't really remember what happened. All I know is that I pissed everybody off. I'm pretty sure I turned off the music somehow in a big space like this. Ended up getting to the point where, like, the bouncers, like, threw me out. I think they threw me out 3 times. I don't know how I got back in the other times, and And this is all from, like, bits and pieces of what I remember, but I remember coming to, walking home when everybody was getting ready for the Gasparilla Marathon. And I was filthy. I think I had taken a nap in a ditch somewhere. And so, like, I lived on Davis Island at the time, and that was where I was walking home to. I had drove there. I don't know why I didn't drive. And I had driven drunk plenty of times, so it wasn't outside of my capabilities to do that, or my reasoning to do that, rather. But yeah, that was my last time. And so what ended up happening after that was, the next day I didn't, you know, called out of work. I didn't really want to do anything. Then the following day, I ended up, like, emailing my grandfather, who's also in the program, and we actually go to a couple of meetings a week together. And I was just like, I have no idea what to do. Like, I had wanted to stop drinking before, but I didn't have it in me to do it. And I knew that he had been sober for, you know, 35 years. So I didn't know that at the time. I knew it had been a long time. But so I reached out to him, and I'm very thankful that I have family in the program, because I don't think, if I didn't know somebody that was directly involved with AA, like, I don't think I would be here right now. And I would probably be dead, if I'm being honest. Like, the daily drinking to, like, that last night, the escalation was just so incredibly fast that I couldn't have written that, and, like, you know, planned for that. Like, nobody can. But yeah, so I went in, and I, you know, the first meeting I went to was the 7:30 speaker meeting at Yana on Sunday night. I sat right behind the speaker. I raised my hand, said I was new. I wanted to, like, crawl, like, out the door afterwards, because it's just like, I mean, if anybody's been to that meeting, it's like everybody's like facing towards the front. So I just felt like all eyes were on me. And then the second meeting I went to was the black belt meeting. And, I just, you know, I have, like, less than a minute left, but, I cannot, like, even begin to describe how, like, happy I've been since I've been in the program. It's definitely not easy, but it is simple. And if, you know, you're willing to listen and take advice and to not do it your way and do it somebody else's way. You know, I have a higher power now, which I didn't before. I am teachable, which I wasn't before. The first words out of my mouth, somebody was telling me how to do something, would be like, I know. Now I actually shut up and listen instead of trying to tell people I know how to do something. And it's been awesome. Like, I have people that I can actually rely on instead of fake friends that I couldn't before. And I definitely cannot, like, I love coming to, like, speaker meetings, too, to hear, you know, even though people's stories are wildly different, there's always something that I can relate to, from the most, you know, hardened of alcoholics to the least hardened of alcoholics. And I think, like, you know, when I first came in, that was not something that I could do, was not put myself in somebody else's shoes, but, like, listen and relate to somebody, because I thought, like, I had it the worst, and I was the, you know, scum of the earth and blah 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 and whatever. Like, I'm super happy that I'm here. I was happy that I was asked to speak. I'm sorry if I rambled. Thank you. That's all I got.